everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. We're glad you've joined us today as we continue our teaching series called The Grace Guide to Marriage, an insight-filled study that we hope is finding meaning and purpose in your home and in your marriage. For today, the phone lines into the live program are not open. However, if you have a question about anything you hear or have heard on Basic Gospel, or if there's something you'd like us to discuss, you can call our 24-hour listener line at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. But for today, welcome to the Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are coming down to the end of this particular study. We have several more weeks, and what we want to do as we conclude this is take some time to answer your questions. So if you have questions about marriage, we invite you to call 844-322-2742 anytime during the day and just leave that message on our recorders, and then we will bring it to the airwaves and answer it. Or if you would like to send a question to us via email, send that question to bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Or you can post your questions on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel, and we will take a look at those. But we know that when it comes to marriage, when it comes to this vital relationship, we all struggle. We all have difficulties at time, and we all have questions on how to get through those rough patches. And we want to help you get through those rough patches. So if you have a question or a concern about your marriage, about your relationship, maybe you're a single person contemplating marriage and you have questions on how to move forward, we want to address those. So again, send an email to me, bob@basicgospel.net, or call 844-322-2742 and just leave your question on our recorder, and we will get to those on a later broadcast. Today, I think, is a very important addition in this particular series, because we're going to talk about the thing that really holds marriage together. Now, my mom and dad, they were married for 43 years before my dad passed away. And one of the things that really stood out about them was their deep friendship, their deep abiding friendship one with another. Dad considered my mom his best friend, and mom was the same way about dad. And they wanted to spend time with each other above spending time with any other person. I remember several times coming home from Dallas, going to Marietta, Georgia, and being there. And I would look at my dad and say, "Dad, let's go hit some tennis balls." And he would always say, "Well, let me check with your mom first. We might have better plans." And I thought, oh, my goodness. Wow, I know,
nice
where,
to know where I
yeah,
stand. Huh?
And I did. I knew exactly where I stood. I was well below my mom as far as dad's attention and who he wanted to spend time with. And that was so powerful to me to see that friendship, that abiding friendship. And I thought, if that's what really holds a relationship together, and I'm not just talking about a friendship because they like to travel or they, you know, had some common hobbies or their political, you know, thinking was on the same page. I'm talking about their friendship in Christ. They shared his life together, and that was their joy, sharing the very life of Jesus together in such an intimate setting, one with another. So I thought, if that's what really is the glue that held them together, how do we start with friendship in Christ as far as marriage is concerned? And that, I think, that really starts with dating. I think we need to put that as kind of the primary goal. Find somebody in dating that you can be a friend in Christ to. There's certainly all kinds of things that pull us together. They're magnets out there, I like to call them, that attract us one to another. They're certainly physical attributes. When I saw Gina for the first time, I mean, I was just floored. Her beauty was stunning. Her smile, I mean, one of the most genuine smiles I had ever seen. I tell her time and time again, you smile from the heart, and it shows on the face. And I loved her personality. She was funny. She was hilarious. She just kept me in stitches. And those were some of the things that attracted me to her to begin with. Those were a physical and soulish magnets. But there was something else as I got to know her that became so vitally important to me, and that was her relationship with Jesus. She had come to, we had gone to a conference together, and boy, there was a particular session on the forgiveness of God that really just went straight to her heart in such a powerful way, and she just came to rest in the finished work of Jesus and rejoiced in the fact that Christ had taken away her sins. And when that happened, and the two of us started talking about that, just wherever we were, that was the glue that really brought us together and said, hey, we're meant to be together in this, in, you know, not just as friends, but as husband and wife in Jesus Christ. So we spent a lot of our time just talking about the Lord, just talking about how the Lord has changed our lives. And boy, that friendship is what has kept us together all of this time. And we keep going back to what we share together in Christ Jesus. So friendship in the Lord, friendship in Christ is vitally important. And here's the reason why. There's lots of things, and friendship is always based on a common interest.
Yeah.
It's based on something else. It's not just based on that particular person, but it's based on something that the two of you share in common. I said it may be a hobby. When I first moved to Dallas, I met a gentleman named Wade Nallen. We've been friends for almost 40 years. What drew us together initially, we were in a Bible study, but as we talked after the Bible study, we found out both of us love tennis. So we started setting up tennis matches, and we just loved to go out there and beat the daylights out of one another. And we had this really strong competition. But what's held us together is our friendship in the Lord. And it was that tennis, that love for tennis, that brought us together initially, and that has some adhesiveness to it that can keep you together for a little bit. But if you want something that will really hold you together through thick and thin, that's when you need Christ. Yeah. You know, there's lots of people that enjoy traveling together, and that's their common interest. And others enjoy a particular type of lifestyle or a particular political. You know, a lot of friendships are developed through political affinities.
Mm-hmm.
But the adhesiveness in those things wears out over time, and it's not going to keep you together for a long, long time. Only Christ. I love what Paul writes about him in Colossians. He holds all things together, and that includes our relationships one to another, and that includes marriage. So if we're going to have a marriage that endures through thick and thin, we need to start with friendship.
Yeah.
Well, we'll continue this in just a few minutes, but want to thank all of those who partner with us to bring Basic Gospel to the airwaves. Without your financial help, without your partnership in the gospel, it would be impossible for us to do what we do through radio, through our internet channels, through our social media platforms, through our conferences and our resources. So you join with us in proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ. You join with us in standing on that gospel and having confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ to change lives. And we are so grateful for your help. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, shape, or form, and you would like to give back and help others know the joy and freedom
yes.
and love that you have discovered in Christ Jesus, we ask you to join with us. Become a partner with us. And you can do so by going to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. and hit the donate button there, and then just follow the instructions. And we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's called The Real You. And talk about a resource that is valuable as far as marriage is concerned. When you understand who you are in Christ and all that you have in Christ, the riches that you have in Christ, then you really have something to give, something to offer to another person. And you can encourage your mate to grow in who they are in Christ.
Yes.
And talk about glue that really is like Gorilla Glue, man. Once it's in the mix, you're stuck to one another in a very positive and real and life-changing way. So we want to send this to you as our way of saying thanks. It's called The Real You. So when you give to Basic Gospel, be sure and request your copy of this CD series called The Real You. So back to our study on marriage, the Grace Guide to Marriage, Grace in Marriage. One of the things that the Bible talks about, Richard, is this, that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 puts it this way, "For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Now, the context of this particular passage is much broader than merely marriage.
Yes.
It really is a statement that affects all relationships, business partnerships, all sorts of things. But a primary application of it is certainly in marriage. And I think this is so important for people who are single, who may be dating somebody, to put this out there as something that's important to you. You know, you may find somebody that you're physically attracted to. You may think that this lady is just the most beautiful person that you've ever seen. You may think this man has every physical attribute that you're looking for, that he's, you know, you love his decisiveness. You love that he knows where he's going. But all of that has to be subjected to this. Is he a believer? Does he know Jesus Christ? Because all those other things are going to change over time. You know, looks fade. We don't maintain you know, our good looks and all of those sort of things. Things happen. You know, if you're marrying somebody because they have a lot of money, well, stock markets can fall and you can lose all of your financial wealth. You can lose all of it just like that. And then what are you going to think about that person? So this reality needs to trump all others. Does this person know Jesus Christ? And we've certainly seen through our years, Richard, of ministry, a lot of people who have ignored this to their own peril as far as relationships.
Yes.
I remember talking to a couple, and I said, "You shouldn't get married. He's not a believer." He says, "Well, you just don't know how I feel. You just don't know how I feel. I just believe he's the right one. And I know, you know, just give me time. I can lead him to Christ.
I'll change him."
Well, a year later, they were headed to the divorce court. Why? It just didn't work out. It wasn't. They didn't have the glue to keep them together. So this has to trump everything else, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it's a lot more subtle than just asking somebody, "Do you love Jesus?" Because most people are going to say, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah.
No, it this is why the conversation and the friendship is so important. What is it about being equally yoked in Christ that matters? And this is especially true if both of you have been raised, for example, in a strong denomination of some kind.
Yes.
But not the same denomination, because there are very strong belief systems that come along with those denominations. And that's good and bad, okay? It doesn't matter. It's just a fact. And when you assume that the other person believes the same as you do, and you don't have the conversation about the reality of those beliefs, you are going to run into roadblocks without fail. And you may run into a roadblock even when you do have that conversation. Because if you believe that someone is forgiven in Christ Jesus, And therefore, that's the basis, that in his indestructible life is the basis for your assurance. And the person you're talking to doesn't believe that. Well, you are at cross purposes. And you're going to have to work through that. And so this being equally yoked is vital because of the power of who Jesus is and the all-encompassing aspect of life that he is. I mean, he is everything or he is nothing. And it's okay early in a relationship to say, you know, we're just not on the same page here. It would be better to stop now.
Yes.
As much as that hurts, than to go on and rue the day that we didn't come to grips with this issue.
Right. And a lot of times we fear that. I see that in couples that date. They fear taking a stand on the gospel.
Yeah.
Because if I do and this person walks away or I walk away from them because they're not in Christ, will I ever find somebody like her or like him again? Will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find that person that I can do life with? And so fear oftentimes is the very motivator to keep you in a relationship that you know you don't belong in.
Yeah.
But if you would just trust the Lord, and that's what it gets down to, trusting the Lord, then your stand on the gospel, taking that stand, may be the very thing that opens that person's eyes to Christ.
Yes.
You never know. So the idea is trusting the Lord. And if he says, don't be unequally yoked, trust him with that. He really does know what's best for you. And that's all he wants for you. Mm-hmm. He wants what's best. He wants you to be involved in a relationship that you can commit to, that you can give of yourself to for life. And not being equally yoked is going to make that a difficult task.
Yeah, I can give you a positive example of this. My wife and I actually were raised in the same church, believed very strongly in the tenets of that church. And over time, after we got married, we changed our belief system. And we knew many couples who went through that kind of change. One or the other decided, I don't want to be part of this church anymore. And almost invariably, it ended in divorce. For Lois and I, we ended up growing closer together because we had the foundation in Christ first. Then we could deal with the belief system. And as much, you know, we had heated conversations over this stuff. And as much as we fought over beliefs, we had Jesus in common, and the beliefs coalesced eventually, and we ended up closer together instead of farther apart.
And it's a powerful, powerful story, a powerful testimony. And we had the opportunity to watch some of that from a distance to see what God did in such a wonderful, wonderful way. So if you're out there, you're dating, like I said, friendship in Christ needs to trump all other things that attract you to that mm-hmm. person. I said there are physical and soulless attractions. Those are the initial drivers.
Yeah.
And we don't want to discard those.
No.
Those are important. Are you physically attracted to this other person? And I think that's important to be able to say yes. Are you attracted to their personalities? Do you like some of the things that they enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can say yes, then, you know, that's kind of a green light to take the next step.
Yeah.
But the next step is really finding out where they are in Christ. And this friendship in Christ, as I've put it, needs to be the prop, that prop on the boat that propels the relationship forward.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be these other things. It needs really to be friendship in Christ. Why? Because friendship in Christ it is going to enable you to have a deep, deep relationship with another human being.
Well, remember what we said from the very beginning. If you know who you are in Christ, you don't have to find that in someone else because you've already got it. Now you're free to have meaningful conversations, to dig deep into whatever issues you choose to dig into because you're already secure.
Right. And it gives you a destination that you're moving toward that is beyond anything else in the world.
Yeah.
So some people want to get married, for example, and say, you know, we're going to start off in just a, you know, little two-bedroom, one-bath house, but our destination is this mansion over here.
Yeah.
That's where we're moving. Well, what happens when you get there and you don't really have friendship in Christ? You've reached the goal, but you found out that the house is empty.
Yeah, you find
that
yourself living at opposite ends of 12,000 square
feet. That's right. That's not a goal that really has substance to it, that can keep you together through thick and thin. But when you're friends in Christ, when you realize you're brothers and sisters in Christ, you have an eternal destination. You're always pressing forward in Christ for the high calling, that upward calling in Him. And you're moving, you're encouraging one another in that journey, and you're taking that journey together. I love how Tim Keller defined friendship, and he defined it this way: a deep oneness that develops as two people journey together toward the same destination. What's our destination in Christ? Well, to be with Christ forever. It's something beyond this world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we have worldly destinations, like I said, a big house or this particular lifestyle or something else, we're going to find those are not fulfilling. Those are not compelling enough to keep us together. But when we understand that we have this eternal destiny in Christ, and we are willing to help one another through the dangers and challenges along the way, then we're going to really have an interesting life together.
Yes.
And that's what marriage should be. It should be interesting. It should be challenging. It should be something that moves each party above and beyond what they ever could have been, you know, as an individual. That's what friendship is all about. So here's what Keller said: a deep oneness that develops as two people journey together toward the same destination, helping one another through the dangers and challenges along the way.
Yeah.
I think that's a great definition of Christian friendship. Friendship in the Lord. And there's lots of great examples of friendship in the Bible. There's Jonathan and David. We see that story in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And there was such a powerful friendship there that they said that their souls were knit together as one. And they even covenanted together to have a friendship that would endure, that would last. So that's a powerful thing. We see in Proverbs 17:17 that a friend loves at all times. So we see a constancy of friendship in Christ, and certainly that's what we need in marriage. And then in Proverbs 27:17, you know, friends sharpen one another.
Yeah.
You know, if we see something going amok in a friend's life, we step up to the plate and have a conversation about that, and so we sharpen one another. And then the final thing about friendship that we see in the Word of God is friends let one another in each other's lives. You let each other know what's actually going on. Jesus Christ calls us friends.
Yes.
And He called His disciples friends. And the reason that He called His disciples friends instead of servants is because the servant doesn't know what the master is all about. But a friend will let another friend in on what is going on.
Yeah.
So in Christ Jesus, we know what Christ is all about, what He is up to. And as friends with one another in a marriage relationship, in a dating relationship, we're going to let each other in. We're going to let the other person know what we're all about. And that's powerful.
Yes.
That's glue that is going to hold you together through thick and thin. So friendship in Christ, and we pray that this has been an encouraging lesson to you today. If you have questions about this, about any aspect of marriage, we certainly encourage you to write to us, bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call your question in to 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. 1-800-782-4942. Now for Richard Pfeiffer and then the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.